Good day, everyone. Welcome to This Week in Mormons. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you listening in and appreciate the fine person that you are. No, let me finish. You're a good
appreciate
person.
Appreciate you. We appreciate you.
I am appreciating people this week. You're a wonderful person. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. That thing that was bothering you about the other thing, don't worry about it. It's all going to be okay.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you.
Well, Mr. Doan.
That's a Utah phrase I learned. Appreciate you.
Yes. Appreciation abounds. This is a glorious week. And I hope everyone is having a wonderful week so far. That you all had a great Labor Day. Resting.
Did you labor on Labor Day?
Not on Labor Day. Yesterday was kind of low-key, just hanging out. But on Saturday, I got to experience what it is to go to the beach on the East Coast.
Step in a diaper? Because that's what Connecticut beaches have.
I mean, you know, I've been to the beach. I've been to the beach with you, for example. But when you're in D.C., even though you are actually close to coastline, you don't really go to the beach. You have to drive almost 3 hours to actually go to the beach somewhere.
Yeah.
So we saddled up, left around 6:30 in the morning.
Ugh.
And drove all the way out there over the Chesapeake across the Delmarva Peninsula to Rehoboth, Delaware. And there we set things up, had a grand time. I was a little skeptical because I said, who spends all day at the beach? Who goes and spends all day at the beach? You just go, in my experience, I get up, I go there for a few hours, and then I move on with my day. It's not.
And what happened?
An all day affair. It was fine.
What happened all day at the beach?
We spent most of the day there. The real fun was that the weather, the tide was still very rough because of Hurricane Irene, even though it had been a week. So the water was very cold, like Pacific Ocean cold, which was awesome. Cold like the Pacific. And the waves were like 4 to 6 footers just crashing right into the beach. It was crazy.
Yeah, I love the beach. So, and I wish that I was there with you while you did
so this. It was very rough. The water was rough. And then the tide was so uncharacteristically high because of the hurricane that it was flooding the beach.
And the moon was close.
I'm serious. It flooded half the beach. People were having to be running out of the way with all their gear because the waves were just coming up. It was awesome. So that was my big piece of excitement.
That's pretty exciting.
On the weekend. How was your Labor Day, my friend?
I packed my bags and headed north to the lovely land of eastern Idaho. I went to Blackfoot, Idaho.
For the
Eastern Idaho Fair. Now, a lot of times, you'll think fondly of your memories of fair days when you used to go to the fair. And you're like, well, those were all right times. Maybe I should go to the fair again.
Yeah.
And then you go again, and after, oh, I don't know, 5 hours of looking at cows and sheep and goats, you think to yourself, no, I didn't miss this at all. However,
did they not have much in the way of like rides or attractions or anything?
Well, they did, but everything's extra. All that's extra. So you pay $5 to get in, and then they want another $5 for... And the people I was with... So this was the kicker. The people I was with were interested in the cows, horses, and sheep. And I was like, you guys are killing me. I'd rather go look at the quilts than at this. And so, but the couple of cool things about the East Idaho Fair. One, I ran into an old missionary buddy right there, which was great. Two, the tiger ears, which are like, it's like a scone that measures about 16 inches by 16 inches. Big mamma jamma, covered in cinnamon, sugar, and butter. Pretty amazing.
Okay. I like
three,
it.
Three.
What?
The one other redeeming thing was the Indian relay race. Which is where it's I don't know how they get away with it there, but they get these guys to dress up as Indians and they take them out on the horse racing track, and they have three horses, and the idea is that the Indian will ride the first horse around the track, jump off that horse, jump onto the next horse, ride that horse around the track once, jump off that horse, jump onto the next horse, ride that horse around once, and then the first one to finish wins. Well, so it gets pretty dang exciting because these guys, like, they're coming in at a full ride and they jump off the horses and they're, like, running away. And then you have, like, you have this tiny little, you know, white kid or Mexican kid that's tasked with jumping and grabbing this horse racing at full speed so that it'll, like, he can stop him. And of course, they have these other horses that they're walking around in circles because they're seeing all these other horses go racing, and the horses that are waiting want to race as well. And so, like, I mean, they're fighting them, they're grabbing ears. It was pretty dang awesome. Huh. And so they ride bareback. That's the big caveat, right? You have to ride bareback. And so they jump on, and of course, the horse that's, like, ready to go as soon as it gets the slap on the rear, it goes. And if you're not on there right, then you're bucked off right away under other racing horses, and you get trampled. It's very exciting. Very exciting.
Oh.
Eastern Idaho did not disappoint.
You want to talk about riding bareback? I watched the film Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken.
Can they?
Have you seen it? It's all about horse jumpers during the Depression. Horse diving, rather. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I love horse diving.
A horse runs up a ramp that that stops at 40 feet in the air.
Wait, I do remember
some
this.
Chick is waiting for it, and when the horse is running, she jumps onto the horse's back and then jumps off into a large pool. And everyone claps.
I do remember this.
I mean, I know that we were at a low point during the Depression, but it's pretty amazing what people would be entertained by back then. But the Wild Hearts couldn't be broken. It had a great message of men marrying 16-year-old girls.
Listen, we all have hobbies, okay? So we do things differently and
sure.
I mean,
sometimes I dive horses, sure, why not?
As long as we're marrying, that's what's important. Just ask the Sacramento Bee.
More on that later. In fact, we have a lovely show for you today. Ha ha. We got a lot of things. Yes, something.
Wait, is that it? Hold on. This is a big week, Jeff. You turned 30 this week. Can we talk about that? How do you feel your day of birth?
Let's break it down. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Work it through for me.
Okay, I am intentionally melodramatic about it, just for the sake of doing it, because in all reality, I don't really care. Because not much phases me. It's just kind of like, yeah, okay, I mean, I'm 30, but I'm not going to pretend. It's obviously a pensive period, a period of self-reflection, perhaps, thinking about what I have done during these 30 years, what I haven't done, what I wish I would have done. For example, you know, wondering if I've accomplished enough.
What are these things? What do you wish you would have done?
Well, you know what? Life.
Do you have any regrets?
Well, everyone has regrets. I mean, come on. No great regrets necessarily. No, but everyone has some regrets. You know, part of me wishes I would have moved to D.C. sooner. I think it's been a good move for me. Should have done that a little while ago, but that's okay.
Really? You're happy with the move?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it's been a good thing. It's been a very good thing. So, other than that, I mean, you know how it is. Did I think back when I was 22 or something that I would make it all the way to 30? And I figured at this age I would have been, like, long since married and probably have a couple of kids by now, be a homeowner, a landowner. I'd be able to vote in colonial America.
Huh.
So those things haven't happened, but, you know, it will.
Well, most of that you can control, though. The only one that you can is the marriage and kids.
I cannot
right?
control when I get married. I can't control if women ask me out or not. I can't
That's
do anything
true.
About it. If the women don't ask me out, I'm just stuck at home by myself.
Listen,
as a victim of circumstance.
We look as good as we can.
I do myself up, and I don't know why the women don't ask me out and take me on dates. You know, so I just sit at home and I eat my Dove bars and feel sorry for myself, and eventually a woman will appreciate me for who I am.
That's what I'm talking about.
And
that
ask
is
me
what
out.
I'm talking about, brother.
So, you know, so 30. Yeehaw. Having a big blowout party this weekend. It's going
to
be great.
What will be different about 30 to 40?
Okay, between 30 and 40, okay, when you're in your 20s, there's a lot of development that happens. I mean, you know, I went to school twice. I did a lot of things during those years, working. 30 to 40, there's less leeway. I'm pretty much like over the, I'm established. I'm up at the plateau of life at this point. And,
yes.
So, you know, 30 to 40, I better as heck be married, kids, homeowner.
What will you do to yourself if you don't get married?
I will move to Utah.
You wouldn't.
I would. I actually thought about this. You know what I realized? I don't mind living in Utah. I make fun of it a lot, but there's actually a weird part of me. If maybe it's not even weird. Even like Utah County, which I mock, but there's some sort of solace in there being members all over the place. Even if some of them are idiots or closed-minded, you know, sheltered types or whatever, there's a lot of everything. But part of me actually kind of likes living in Utah. I'm not going to lie.
More than D.C.?
No, I like D.C. quite a bit. But it's like, if I were to move to Utah, I wouldn't have any great trepidation or reservations about it or be bummed out like, oh boy, I finally sold out. I'm moving to Utah. I wouldn't care. I think Utah's an okay place to live. You know, friendly business climate, relatively low taxes, high standard of living. You know, why not enjoy it? And mad Greek whenever I want it.
Fair enough. I should enjoy it more.
So, you know, I mock Utah, but really, Utah listeners, and there are many of you, you lead us in listens and visits to our website.
In love.
I don't mind the Wasatch Front.
I've enjoyed it, more or less. I've enjoyed my time here. I feel like Utah is a good move for me as well.
I think that you will quickly either be married or be the father of an illegitimate child. It's one or the other.
At this point... Who cares? All right, anyway, we do have a show for you. It's going to be very exciting.
What?
Speaking of Jeff and being old, we bring to you from the Sacramento Bee...
It's a great publication.
A story of Jimmer. A story of Jimmer. And so much more.
This isn't really about Jimmer.
Why else would the Sacramento Bee,
okay,
the California leader in journalism...
Actually, the Sacramento Bee has won a number of Peabody Awards.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's one of those small. It's one of those small papers that used to be noted for its quality investigative journalism.
And now, nothing.
And now it runs stories about Jimmer. So.
But Jimmer proposed to his girlfriend in a tweet.
Yes.
At age 22.
That a boy.
He's very excited, and it's fun. So the Bee runs a story called Mormon Men Waiting Longer to Marry, Worrying Church Officials. It talks about President Monson, how he, in conference, he talked about how this was this was something that was worrying him. But one of the things they did is they interviewed, I think it was a local guy, a local church and family person, Thomas Holman, professor of family life at Brigham Young University, who gave a couple of interesting quotes about this. Apparently, the national age right now for marrying for guys is 28.4, and for girls is 26.5 years old.
Dang it, I'm even over the worldly age. This is terrible.
No, you're keeping the average up there.
I'm above the average. I'm like over the bell curve at this point.
Somebody's got to be there. You got to pull it up, Jeff. You're pulling it up. And so... So one of the things that he mentions, though, as he goes through this, is he says that Mormons have a divorce rate of 20%, which, correct me if I'm wrong, like, I'm thinking back to my random, I'm going to write an essay days when I was in college that I had, but I'm almost 100% certain, 100% certain that the church divorce rate is around 40-some percent, 45-ish, I want to say. Where the national rate is something around 55. So it's like a difference of about 10%. So Mormons do divorce less, but it's almost like it's not as big as people think, right? Like almost one in two marriages, even temple marriages fail.
See, but where are you backing this up? Because I've seen different statistics that argue it depends on the type of marriage. If there are those that are an actual temple marriage, they're better. If it's a Mormon... marrying a non-member or what have you. You know, it depends on how you mix it up.
What you define
as a Mormon marriage.
I would circle a Mormon, like two Mormons marrying each other inside or outside the temple.
But even that stats show is different compared to inside or outside of the temple. It shows that temple marriages have lower divorce rates than non-temple marriages.
Well, so what I'm saying is he claims that it's 20%. I am almost certain that's wrong. I need to check my stats.
You're right,
and stuff.
Because it is 6%. Six.
What?
Yep.
What is 6%?
The divorce rate. I've decided. 6%.
Oh, okay. Good work.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know. Good claim. But so they interview a bunch of people. I mean, these stories are just kind of, I don't know, like they're interesting. They've got to be really interesting for people that aren't of our faith to read this and be like, really? They are all about the marriage? And kind of the approach we take to get there. But, like, it's kind of getting a little bit overplayed, I feel like. I mean, because every interview, it's like the guy says, well, I wish I was married, or, you know, I just haven't found the right person yet. Because they ask you, why aren't you married? Jeff, why aren't you married? You're old. Why aren't you married? Well, it just hasn't happened yet. Like, what else could you say? What else do you want from us people? We try. We're doing the best we can. And Jimmer, how dare you? He's got the three pointers. He does a lot of push-ups, and he's married. I mean, every guy wants to be Jimmer.
Apparently. Yeah, but you're overlooking a lot of the content of the article.
What am I missing?
You're focusing strictly on the stats. I mean, you know, on the reasons why they are delaying marriage. And we've talked about this before on the show. Many of the typical things.
They reference Monson's quote of vacations.
There are vacations, but I think there's a huge group who feel there's a greater sense, I feel, of inadequacy among the brethren in the church more than there used to be. A sense that because of the pressures to be able to be that man and be that provider and head of a household and how much more difficult that is to do nowadays, it's less feasible than it was. It's just more difficult.
Is this a heartfelt commentary on your own situation, Jeff?
No, I'm seriously. I think generally speaking, I think it's true. I think men are less confident with themselves now and their ability to be those things, and so they put it off.
That's odd because one of the things that I'm the most sad about with the fact that I'll be marrying like a little bit later on in my life is the fact that I don't get the chance to like go through college living on milk crates and mattresses on the floor and like
you likely won't
wondering
live.
What am I how am I going to make this next paycheck and
well
what am
Al
I
if you
do?
Still manage to cut yourself checks for the paltry amount every month that I know you do from the quilting company, I think you can still have that experience.
Yeah, if I can get a wife that'll allow me to stay as cheap as I am.
You could be like, look, honey, I want to have the experience.
You know what I mean, though, right? Like the early stage uncertainty and what are we going to do and like that coming together stage of life. The fact that like you and I have pretty much passed that. Yeah. That's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, the poor newlywed phase. We probably won't experience it. That's true.
So anyway, so probably some legitimate concerns. I don't think that's a big problem, though. I honestly don't think that guys not feeling up to the... Like, you see so many schmuck guys that get married and have no intentions of providing for their wives at all. You think, well...
It's true. But, I mean, think about it. We've woven a difficult, troubling web when we have so much emphasis on all the right things that need to be there in marriage and relationships that it's almost become overwhelming, I think, to many men. To think that they can actually tackle that and be prepared to take it on.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the answer, because at the end of the day, it's really about how much faith you have and if you're willing to struggle through things and make things happen anyway and this and that. But I think it's become harder, and I think also our society has become more, aside from being more consumerist, we've also become more practical in many ways. I don't want to say more secular, but that the mindset is more that we have to feel very comfortable from that practicality perspective to be willing to take on more. Not just willing just to jump into marriage, you know, devil may care.
Yeah.
About what we're going to be doing. We think much more methodically about things now than we used to. That's what I think about that. Are we done with that story, or do you want to keep going?
I'm done. I have nothing more to say.
Get married, everyone, you schmucks.
I don't know how we're supposed to fix this, though. I don't know. Like, my dating experience since I've been in Utah, I've been here a couple of weeks now. It's not been, like, there's not a, it's not a switch we can flip.
No.
It's not any easier. Well, it is a little bit easier to date here, but.
Well, yeah, like, there are women everywhere.
There's nothing magical that happens. I don't, like, you don't just magically have good chemistry and find people that you're attracted to, and
yeah, I mean,
things are going great.
It's not every day, Al, that you can find women that you can, you know, demean, and
that's, you know, I love to demean
and make feel like fools and tell them on their first dates how their life plans are stupid. You know,
that was an accident.
You can't.
That was a terrible, terrible accident.
I just wish I had documentary footage of the many dates you've been on, because the stories you have told me, I feel like there's just a movie there.
Yeah, I will be the next Pride and Prejudice. I'm Mr. Darcy.
See, that's beautiful right there.
Yep. Mm. Anyway.
So, totally unrelated notes. Remember the old Provo Tabernacle, you know, burned down earlier this year?
Yes.
Which was very sad. No one knows what's going to happen with it, with the building, whether they're going to rebuild one. The church has been mum about this completely. And there's a lot of pressure. The community, I think, wants a rebuilt tabernacle in some way that keeps with the pioneer heritage. I don't think they want to go all Ogden and just put some modern bloom structure right there. No one knows what's going to happen. But last week, the church purchased the Travel Lodge on University Parkway, as well as Los Tres Amigos restaurant.
I love the Three Amigos restaurant.
Which
not
are
really.
Both, they are across 100 South from the Provo Tabernacle. Why would they be buying these? Perhaps to build a parking lot for a new building, maybe, methinks?
What building, Jeff?
I'd assume
speculate.
They would be building some kind of a new tabernacle. It only makes sense. And I know that I love they've got some quote from the mayor of Provo here who says even he's been out to Des Moines and people are asking him what the church is doing. And he's like, dude, I'm just running Provo. I don't know what the church's plans are. But so apparently Los Tres Amigos, if you like eating there, which you should. It's better than Los Hermanos, which is really overrated. It's going to be
the Hermans
to 2291 North University Parkway. Sounds like it's a little ways up there, so you can go there. A Travel Lodge, on the other hand, the poor owner of this, has had to send half of his inventory and stuff down to Richfield, way down there in like the San Pete Valley. No other close Travel Lodge for this guy. So,
the poor Travel Lodge.
So I don't know what the church has in store. I wouldn't think they would build a new building on that property because the nice prime real estate right there for the old tabernacle right there on the corner, you know, of Center and University, it's just a good lot. I mean, you wouldn't want to walk away from that, bump a new building.
Well, this is
down.
It's right on, what is that, State Street, Center Street? What is that?
I just said it just now. I just said
remind
where
me.
It is.
Remind
just
me.
Like, I just said it, and then you asked where it was when I just told you.
Remind me that street. It's right on there.
Center and University.
University, I'm thinking, yes.
Yep.
That's the one. Was that so hard, Jeff?
It was, actually. It's right there on University Avenue, not to be confused. As a side note, how confusing is this when you first moved to Provo? That they have
University
Parkway,
and
University Avenue.
Ugh. And the fact that the grid system starts over in every town, people.
When the towns run together,
this is a bad idea.
Well, the grid system does that down in Utah County. I believe up in the Salt Lake Valley, though, for the most part of the East Valley, the grid system follows from downtown Salt Lake, so it's not as bad.
Yeah, well, up here it's fine, but down in Provo, it was.
That's why
mess.
It is nice, man. You go all the way down to Draper, and you're just up in the 10,000.
So you really think this is just a parking lot for the tabernacle?
I don't know what else it would be. I think it would seem weird to build a new building on a site right there and shift it down a block, because if the church owns that prime piece of corner real estate, that's a great place to put something. So why wouldn't you? So maybe they have something grand planned. Maybe they're going to build the Provo Second Temple. That's right, folks.
I like it.
The first ever, and they will not, let's see, no, they've got to give it a creative name like the Ochre Mountain one, because they couldn't just call that like St. South Jordan number 2. So they'll have to call it is there anything right there that's like noteworthy? It's just Center Street and University Avenue.
Call it the Three Amigos Temple.
Yeah, or the Los Hermanos Temple. The New Skin Temple. Is the New Skin building, you know, next door?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would love that.
Anyways, everyone, let the speculation begin. Clearly, though, good. I think this points to something happening on that. Why else would the church buy that property adjacent to the tabernacle?
The good thing about this
something wasn't going
to
happen.
Is I believe this is part of the Lord's agenda to rid the world of Travelodge. I feel passionate about that.
Are you sure? Because I think Travelodge is a beautiful example of capitalism.
Disagree.
Fine. Disagree with me all you want. But you know I'm right. Deep down in your heart of hearts.
It's probably true. So,
you're a jerk owl. Another, eat my shorts, owl.
Speaking of great Utah things, not sure why we're speaking of that at all, but there's a Joseph Smith movie coming out. It's called Joseph Smith Volume 1, Plates of Gold.
This sounds suspiciously like the Book of Mormon movie, Volume 1, The Journey.
And are we not optimistic that their costumes made out of drapes? Well,
drapes and the budget to not do a single wide shot in the whole film. I'm a little concerned. That's all I'm saying.
Well, so they got I think it's the guy. Jeff, you noticed this. The guy that played the original or the Joseph Smith in this last movie for the church.
Yeah.
He's playing the Joseph Smith in this.
Yeah, and so to make it a clearer picture, we're not talking the guy who played Joseph Smith in the Joseph Smith film that is at visitor centers right now. We mean the one from a couple years prior of that new video of the first vision, the little 20-minute thing that went out like with the ensigns. When was this? Like 04, maybe 05? That one. So it's all of Joseph Smith like as a kid. Just
the first vision movie, right?
Just the first vision movie. So don't confuse that with the other Joseph Smith film that's at visitor centers. It's clearly that kid, like, grown up. So they got the Joseph Smith actor boy.
They got Joseph.
Being this. This is going to confuse the cutthroat world of Joseph Smith actors.
The three other Joseph Smiths are all like, come on, what does he have that I don't?
I'm sorry, but you know who the best guy to ever play Joseph Smith was the one in Legacy. Legacy has so many terrible moments. But one of my favorite parts is after Joseph Smith blesses somebody when everyone's all sick and heals them. And then he stands up talking to that girl, you know, the main girl character?
Yes.
And the shot is sort of from the ground up looking at him. And the look on his face is like he looks almost like Prince Humperdinck from The Princess Bride. And he looks possessed or deranged. And it's just this, it's just like, yeah. It's this wonderful.
I'm not sure what
everyone,
that was, but
watch it. Find it. Enjoy it.
Still to this day, my favorite first vision movie moment is the one where like they go to the revival and the guys are yelling. Watching that with investigators was the most awkward thing you could possibly imagine.
Speaking of awkward yelling in that Book of Mormon movie, my favorite part is the part that's nowhere in the scriptures when Sam feels compelled to go back and visit his brethren. It's near the end. Kirby Hayborn, you know.
And when wait, what? In the Book of Mormon movie?
Yes. It's
I made it to the part where Joseph or where Nephi, like, they wrote the humor into the script and they were like, now you need to go back for wives. And he was like, I will go and do the things that the Lord has commanded. And he like winks at the camera. You're like, I was like, you know what? I'm done.
Okay.
I can't go.
So near the end, there's this part that was just thrown in there.
That Kirby Hayborn is in that?
Kirby Hayborn plays Sam.
Oh, wow.
Samuel. And so he and, you know, it's many years later, he and Nephi, they've since parted ways, you know, with Laman and Lemuel. And this is the part of like the one big budget shot of the entire film, because, and this is nowhere in the scriptures, the Samuel character says, I miss our brothers. I want to go back. I want to find them. I want to find him, Nephi. And Nephi's like, yeah, all right. That's what you got to do. And so we actually get shots of Kirby Hayborn basically hiking through Hawaii, these great helicopter shots of him making his way back to the camp. And then when he finds them, I can't even begin to describe how hilariously bad it is seeing the, well, what would become the Lamanites. They're dancing around a fire like pagans with this makeup. And there's this shot of Laman just like staring at the camera with his tongue out, just doing a blah. It's the most over the top thing. And you're just like, wow.
It's not a terrible flick.
So that was a, we've very much digressed. Let's talk about this book, this Joseph Smith movie.
Well, so there's a trailer. It's out. It came out, or it was released the second. I'm not sure where we were this whole time that we've missed it, but it's showing down the road for me. I'm going to go see it tonight if I get done with this in time.
Oh, wasn't it at 10 o'clock, though?
It's 9:40 now, Jeff.
Yeah, we won't be 9:40. I mean, we might be, but maybe.
No, we probably won't. Maybe tomorrow. I'll take a woman to see it.
I like that. Women, show her how serious stuff. You are. This looks like an okay film, though.
It's like taking a girl to a church history site to read scriptures.
You know,
oh, they love that.
You know my old favorite trick, though, on first dates? Tell them you're driving to the temple so you can walk around and talk. They love
that. Oh.
But do it as a joke. Like, so they get uncomfortable and they're worried, like, oh no, this is some like creeper who wants to get all serious. Just to pull something on them and then be like, silly, I'm not taking you to do that. We're going to get shakes.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun at all.
No. It is fun. I've done it before. When?
Well, that just sounds terrible.
You say, what are you doing? I thought we could drive to the temple and like park and talk for a while. Who wouldn't be psyched out?
I feel weird now.
Well, this
Jeff, I don't think we should go out ever again.
Okay. Well, this film looks decent quality, and the trailer says
it looks pretty good.
Says it is a masterpiece.
No. So the quotes in it are Richard Bushman says, compelling. Not even an exclamation point, just a period.
Just
compelling.
Like, yeah, it's compelling.
Could be interesting. They have other quotes that are like, good, not great. This could be funny.
It gets some decent quotes. Come on.
Which are?
A masterpiece, both in story and in rendition. A tremendous homage to the man regarded as
a prophet.
For those who love the taste of truth, this movie will be a feast. Breathtakingly beautiful and historically.
Is that Joseph Fielding McConkie?
We already passed him. Excellent and compelling dramatization of Joseph Smith's early years.
One of the investors in the film.
I don't know who he is. I think it looks okay. I'm going to go see this. And the great thing is, apparently, it's like playing in Virginia. So I'm going to go try to find it. See what's going on. This is like God's Army all over again. Remember when that dropped in theaters and everyone was like, what?
Yo, yeah. Anyway, enough about Joseph Smith movie. I'll go see it. You don't have to. I'll return and report.
It gets a decent review, though. They gave it a B+ in like the Deseret News.
What does it say on Rotten Tomatoes?
It's probably not even on Rotten Tomatoes. But
no,
check it
I
out.
Bet
see
it
if
is.
It is. I think it looks okay. It says that it. I like the angle they're taking, saying that unlike a lot of these movies where you always jump from 14-year-old Joseph to a guy who's clearly like 30 playing Joseph from all the years. After, you know, in between there, this is actually like that same kid who was in the first vision. He looks like he's only 21 or 22, maybe.
There are no reviews yet.
So he's actually there. Like, it shows like those youthful years of early marriage and stuff that we don't get. And this is only part one. I hope this becomes a crazy saga.
Well,
so go see it, everyone. If you're in Utah, it's playing everywhere. And if I can see it in Virginia, chances are you can see it out west.
You can't see it in Missouri. I already looked.
Well, that's because they're not allowed in Missouri.
That's probably true. So, all right, anyway.
So the Boise Temple. Oh, sorry. Boise Temple. I've been working on my pronunciation of Boise the proper way.
Okay, good work.
Boise.
Well done.
Outsiders always call it Boise. It's Boise. So the Boise Temple. It's getting
that Syllabin S you have. It's that New England coming out.
It's getting a $13 million upgrade. Now, people have been wondering, speculating whether it would be closed because of the announcement of the Meridian Idaho Temple. And I and many other people assumed they would build the Meridian Temple and then perhaps close the Boise one for some extensive renovations. Such will not be the case. Instead, the Boise Temple is already closed. And it is going to, all sorts of stuff is going to be done. They're adding basements. Broiler rooms. Shouldn't that be a boiler room? Why does it say broiler room in the article?
It's like a sauna.
Because if it's a broiler room, doesn't that actually mean like you'd be cooking things in there, like a broiler? I mean, a boiler room, I understand. You need to have a boiler room, but
could go either way. I think they mean boiler room.
I think they do. Or am I wrong? Are there broiler rooms? But if I think of broiling chicken in this case. Maybe there's...
No, there's should not be any broiler rooms in the temple.
Perhaps they are making full-service kitchens.
Sufficeth to say...
No more of this SpaghettiOs heated up with catering candles, people. They're broiling right. chicken now. It'll waft through the rooms. It'll be beautiful.
Amen.
There's not much beyond that, but... You know, now the local church members have to go to Twin Falls, Idaho, for example, is the closest temple.
Ugh.
Life is rough all around.
Wait, so $13 million, that's a pretty darn big...
That's a good chunk of change. I mean, they spend that much or maybe a little bit more on some of the smaller-ish, newer temples nowadays. Some of them cost that much for the whole thing, so...
But, I think the Winter Quarters Temple cost... Like $13 million.
Probably even less. The ones, the very much the mini temples from 2000, those, you know, the ones that look completely identical, those ones, yeah. They did not have heavy price tags at all. I don't even...
Were they like $4 or $5 million?
Probably a little bit more than that.
I wonder if...
But I'd be surprised if...
Wouldn't it be great if we had like some rich LDS figure that was like, you know what, I'd like
especially
my own temple.
And when you have a...
It doesn't have to like dedicate it or anything, but just build it.
Just build it. And when you have a preformed design like that, it's even faster. You know,
you'd be like, give me one of those. I'd like to put these all over my state.
And it's true.
Throwing up temples.
It is pretty amazing when you look at where...
They would be like wooden priests.
When you look at where temples have popped up in recent years, it's pretty amazing to see the coverage they have now. And especially in the eastern United States, and the majority of them that you find are, you know, the mini temples, the very much the mini, mini temples. But, I mean, they're all over the place now. There's temples in cities you don't know.
So quit distracting me. $13 million. What are they doing there in Boise?
There will be Boise. Don't use a Z sound. Use an S sound. Boise.
Boise.
Okay, they are going to build new finishes, furnishings, and remodeled bathrooms. The structure will be reinforced with sheer walls, steel beams, and floor joists. And a mezzanine for maintenance access. On the south side, a 5,000 square foot basement addition will house a grounds shop, maintenance area, and broiler and chiller rooms, replacing a maintenance shop and storage area. Landscaping will be replaced with new plants and features, including sidewalks, benches, and a water
fountain. This is the lowest unemployment rate or state in like recent years. I bet I could get that done for half that price.
You think so?
Let me build a new maintenance room and replace some of the landscaping. I'll do it. $5 million.
Al, if you do that, they will never even have good internet there.
$7 million. $7 million with internet.
Okay, well, why don't you get in there and bid? Do it.
How did I not get invited into this?
You should write a letter to the church. Be like, look, I am an entrepreneur, and I've decided to start a construction company.
I will undercut. Who are you paying this much money to? I'd like it.
It'd be interesting, wouldn't it be? When you're in heavily LDS areas, you know, it's more common, obviously. These contractors are run by Mormon guys, and, you know, it's, like, fun to probably go in and have a role in building the temples. But how about all these places where there are not large LDS populations? It's just so different, I think. Like, trying to bid that and convey the sacred nature of the building to just, you know, everyday folks who know nothing about the church, but will build a temple.
You're like, no, you don't understand. I need it to be perfect. Perfect? Do you know
You're
what
like,
that is?
No,
perfect.
You can't smoke here. I'm sorry. No drinking booze. I'm sorry. Panamanians?
Pantomimes. Oh, whatever.
Hey, speaking of temple, Al, what was that update over there in Fort Collins that I saw this week? What's going on there?
Fort Collins! They are being schmucks. These people. Now, the newspaper, the Coloradoan, or as I like to read it, the Coloradone, is reporting that residents want to block the Fort Collins Temple is going up there. Residents are trying, they're banding together to block it like a bunch of schmucks.
Schmucks.
What are you doing? What more, your property value goes up. The city is like it's a beautiful building. You've got no complaints. You cowards. And I love that their thing is like, oh, the roads are going to get even more busy. It's going to get worse. And it's like, well, hold on now. We have maximum capacity is like maybe 200 people at any given time, right? And so your peak hours of of, let's say, 6 o'clock at night. I mean, yeah. A temple would love to get 200 people during that. What the reality is it's like, I don't know, maybe 50 people, right? Like, yep. You have 50 people at any time during the day. That's less than than some 7-Elevens. You know, like, we're not talking traffic here. This isn't a big deal.
It's amazing how this becomes the issue every time. And we see all of these same things with the Phoenix Temple. You know, everyone's saying it's going to harm property values.
Let me tell you, this is going to play out. You're going to get a big monkey. You're going to fly. You're going to look like a buffoon. And all we're going to do is come in and say, all right, what do we need to do to get by?
It took me a while to reference. You're talking about the giant gorilla thing at the Phoenix
Temple. Yeah, that was great. This is how high the temple will be. So, it's like, yeah, I see that.
I mean, you get this all the time, and it's just like, I don't know what the church needs to do better to explain how temples are different from meeting houses.
No, you know what this is? Is it's like when you're in a bad relationship and you're trying to break up and you start finding any random thing that's all of a sudden the big issue. You're like, no, you know, like you never bring me toast in bed anymore.
That's
like
really
you
what you
to.
Came up with.
And that's what this is, right? It's just stupid excuse. Like, so they don't want, they're against the temple. They're against Mormons.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is traffic. The traffic will be bad. No, sir, it won't. Well,
it'll hurt my property value. And then we just had, was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
The
Fair publication that actually
showed.
A scientific
that's
study
awesome.
Showing
that it is
property
the
values go up.
To me, being really bothered by her second toe and the fact that it's longer than the first, and oh, that's freaky.
And if anything, these residents should clamor for the biggest temple possible, because that study also showed that the bigger the temple, the more property values went up.
That's what I'm saying. Go all out. If you're going to swing for the fences.
Silly Fort Collins people.
Babe Ruth said that.
While ago now, it's been a couple of months maybe, the LDS missionary who was attacked by a lion at a zoo in Guatemala. Yeah, it was back in
July.
I feel
so bad. All we did was make fun. All we did was make fun of that.
I did not make fun of him. I wrote a letter to his family.
I feel like a jerk.
Because he had to have, what happened, Al? What happened?
I think it's his arm.
They amputated
his
right arm
amputated.
And he's missing a piece of his right leg.
He lost his arm. I'm a jerk. I'm sorry. Dear Paul Richard Oakey, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Forgive us, please. Yeah, that's crummy. So, sent home from your mission early. I mean, if I could go back, I would just like to suggest don't stand too close to lions. That's... As a rule of thumb,
well,
that's something
that I personally
live by. Like, that's my personal mantra, is don't stand too close to lions. And that works in all aspects of life, including actual physical lions. And I would suggest that everyone else live by that same thing, if you know what's good for you.
There you go.
We got a cool... This is, of course, just we're just mentioning this here. The FamilySearch.org released a Facebook app called Relative Finder, which...
What?
All right, let me just say this is... It's cool. Facebook apps are known for their virality, their ability to, be distributed socially, very easy to share and do stuff. So they released this app that supposedly just goes and identifies, like, common relations, right? So you connect it, and then it says, hey... You're connected to King Henry VIII. And you're like, oh, that's cool. Share that. That's awesome. And then other people can come and connect. And what it does is it links your FamilySearch.org profile to your to this Facebook app. And so if you don't have a FamilySearch.org profile, it invites you to go and make one. But the idea is that it's just like it's sharing. And so it's an easy, it's a non like religious way to kind of share some of the stuff the church is doing. Kind of a cool idea. I like what they're doing. I think it's smart from a social media standpoint, from the, you know, an internet spread the word type standpoint.
Just
kind of something cool to put out there. It's not like a functional thing. It's just kind of a gimmick, if you will, that lets you share Family Search, gets people interested in it. So go check it out. We'll put the link up on the site. You can find it and find out who you're related to. Neat.
So, an update on Mitch Main, the story that we broke here on TWIM. And then everyone else interviewed him and got more coverage than we did. But hey, we were the first ones to break it. Mitch Main is the openly gay man who's serving as the executive secretary for his bishopric. This has been making waves throughout Mormondom. Big deal.
This is cool.
It's a big deal. It's just some quick updates. The main one is that he's actually also been charged with building bridges with the local gay and Mormon community. So aside from his job as within the bishopric, he's going to be doing that. The other funny thing is a lot of agencies have tried to call Salt Lake to get a comment, and they have not commented. They have just said it is a local issue. Now, whether that means Salt Lake is treating it like a local issue, because, like, hey, you know, like, that's up to a bishop or a stake president to call whomever you want.
Yep. Because
the church is about decentralization in many aspects. But at the same time, if the church does have an issue with this, can you imagine the PR disaster it would be if they, called up the San Francisco stake and told them they needed to release Brother Main?
We'd never
hear the end of it.
Yeah. They'd have no reason to, right?
Yeah, no, there's no reason to.
I mean,
he's as worthy as anybody else.
The cool thing about this, in wards and small towns and stuff, a lot of times people get special callings as like community outreach people. Their job is to go in and, or like PR people that try and make the church visible in their communities, things like that. So this is a very, like, it's a common calling, just a very unique application of it. And I think it's great. I think that I would love to see the church trying to find things to do, like service activities, stuff like that, dinners. Great.
Anyways, cool. let's ram through the last
Tom Brokaw. Tom Brokaw and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir are doing a 9/11 special. I love Tom Brokaw.
Yep.
He's just got that voice, that hair, that Centrum Silver look. don't worry about going and trying to see it. It's pre-recorded, but it'll be 9/11 Rising Above is what it's titled, and you can see it this Sunday.
Rising Above what?
Or online music and spokenword.org.
Oh, okay. Like it. Other than that, let's see here. You really love the South Carolina one. I'll let you
know. No, there's a South Carolina Mormon guy that chose Rick Perry as the better choice for our country and chose to endorse him.
Silly.
I think that's just kind of... I mean, you don't have to choose a Mormon, but Rick Perry, people? I don't know.
Also, good old Bushman, he's everywhere. Whole article about him and sort of his experiences becoming this go-to guy for sound bites about church things.
Yeah, dude, he really is.
I mean, and that's what it is. I mean, it's like he's always been that. Now they've written an article. It's like meta journalism, basically. Let's get in there. So I'll spare you a lot of the details, but I like Richard Bushman's rules for talking with the media, because I think that as an ever-blogging and social media-savvy Mormon culture, we could learn from this as well. So number one, be generous, not defensive. Two, acknowledge problems if you're asked questions. Three, find new ways to say things. Four, remember reporters want to get it right. Five, don't try to prove, try to tell the truth. Six, who you are is part of the message. And seven, speak from the heart.
Those are great.
I think those could very much help us in all of our efforts online or with people who ask questions about things in the church. Absolutely. Is that it for the show? Is it over? Well, I think that's going to do it. I think that'll do it, except for, guess what, Al? It's the beginning of the month.
Is there a Hamlet Times?
Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it. I know you don't care anymore, but I'm going to do it.
I don't care at all.
Friday, September 2nd, 2011, called Trial of Faith.
Beckstrom says no.
It starts out. You've got Wilma and Fred over here. And she says, look at this. Our stake is sponsoring a triathlon for women. Then dude says, a triathlon for women? What are the events? Cooking, cleaning, and floral arrangements? And then
what
you see
jerk.
In the distance, he just says, ow, like she smacked him. Then she says, look at this. Our stake is sponsoring a triathlon for women. She says this to the daughter. The daughter says, cool.
Oh, Beckstrom, what you could have been.
The funny part is that he got smacked, you know, for that. Hey, someone left a comment 2 weeks ago.
What did it say?
Laughing. Don't know about you, but I need both those classes. What's this about here? Great are the words. I just finished
understanding Isaiah. Then she's headed to her next class. LOL.
Waka waka waka.
Beckstrom, you keep hiding in a cave, buddy. Keep hiding in the cave.
All right, take us out, Al.
Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. This has been another edition of This Week in Mormons, the show where everything is Mormon and the women still don't love us. But that being said, you can contact us at contact@thisweekinmormons. Jeff.
Al.
Did we talk about the most interesting Mormon in the world?
Not on the show, and we've talked about talked to them.
Yeah, but we'll have them on. Contact at thisweekinmormons.com, thisweekinmormons.com to come and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Email us and Facebook us at facebook.com/thisweekinmormons, Twitter @TheRealTwim, and that's it. Come see us. Talk to us. We love you.
We do love you.
Anyway, have a great week, Jeff. Good talking to you. Happy Labor Day, and good luck turning 30.
Thanks, buddy. I'll let you know how it goes.
All right, man.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Everybody, thanks for listening to TWIM, This Week in Mormons. We really appreciate your listenership. Spread the word. Make the world a better place.